I would like to start, I think, I suppose, because it was where I got involved in this whole saga, with the fact that there has been a consistent and deliberate cover-up by the British government, the facts surrounding the sinking of the Belgrano for 2 years. Now, whatever one might think about the standards of the British government, it is unusual, to say the least, to see it sustain in such a deliberate way. A series of deliberately misleading and incorrect statements and refusals to answer questions and so on. Now, I think you've got to ask yourself, why was the government doing it? And at the moment, nobody's managed to get to the bottom of what it is. I think there are probably two explanations, which are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they may well both be true. There's the whole Peruvian aspect, as Willie has already stated. The other is that the British government themselves actually thought that the sinking of the Belgrano was not illegal, so near to it in international law, and had put them in such an embarrassing position with international public opinion that they had to conceal the real reasons for their actions. And that their whole strategy of trying to show that all their actions during the Falklands War were immediate reactions to deliberate Argentine provocation was not in fact true. And the sort of evidence that we were discussing yesterday shows that the British government at the time, and the Foreign Secretary and the Attorney General, believed that the actions that were being taken at the end of April and beginning of May 1982 were not in fact legal in international law. But these questions have been around now for 4 years and have never yet been properly answered or investigated. And I think this comes back to one of the crucial problems of Britain, and that is the accountability of government. Because British government is not really accountable to anybody in the last resort. The problem is that in the House of Commons, they control the majority. And unlike, say, the American Senate, the MPs of the majority party, in the last resort, when the pressure is on, will vote to support the government. They don't have their own independent power base that they can use to criticise the government. The Select Committee system is also designed in the last resort to back up the government, because the government MPs have a majority on every select committee. And as Ian Mercado found during the Foreign Affairs Committee investigation of the Belgrano sinking, obviously for public opinion, they had to go through the motions of conducting an inquiry. But every time they got to the crucial issues and were asking the crucial questions, the Tory majority voted not to ask the questions or not to seek further evidence. Now, under the British system, there's no way you can get round this. What other methods are open if we were to take the issue any further? The Select Committee has obviously reached the end of the road. I mean, not only has the majority report virtually a whitewash of the government's actions, but the dissenting minority report by the Labour Party members has been ignored and not even debated in the House of Commons. We could, I suppose, have a committee of Privy Councillors to investigate it, but I don't believe that the Franks Committee report would give us much confidence in the outcome of the establishment looking yet again at the actions of the establishment during the sinking of the Belgrano. The only other possibility would be the setting up of a tribunal of inquiry, taking evidence under oath under the 1921 Act. But again, to set it up, there has to be a majority vote of both Houses of Parliament. And under the current government, there will not be such a vote. And so we're left in the end with the fact that the government, if it chooses not to be accountable or finds difficulties, can always find ways around problems and not be accountable either to Parliament or public opinion. And if, as Willie is saying, documents exist inside the Foreign Office, as they may well do, they are known to a number of civil servants, that they're placed in an extremely difficult position of knowing what to do about it, even if they know the government is still lying about the Peruvian peace plan. And so we're left with this whole situation, I think, where British government, in a crisis, is left unaccountable. But we don't have the American system, as was shown in Watergate, where people were prepared to actually take on the government. We don't have much of an independent legal system in this country either, except in the last resort, as I was lucky enough to discover. I think we are left with this overriding question. Not only have we not yet got to the bottom of what's at the sinking of the Belgrano, we haven't yet got to the bottom of the problem of how you make British government accountable both to Parliament and the public at the same time.